One of the year's biggest tech IPOs is also one of its most controversial. The We Company, the parent company to WeWork, has been valued as high as $47 billion, even though the company reported a net loss of $1.6 billion last year. Our next guest says it's the latest example of the kind of arrogant attitude that has too long been tolerated and encouraged in the tech world. For more, let's go to our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Kara Swisher is editor-at-large for Recode and a columnist for The New York Times. Hey, Kara.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. So this month, the We Company released papers for its initial public offering that have not gone over well. One analyst called it, quote, a masterpiece of obfuscation. A headline in Forbes called it, quote, the most ridiculous IPO of 2019. What is it about the WeWork IPO that's created such a negative response?
Well, you know, the way it was written, there's a lot of sort of words of what it didn't do, like it was committed to improving the world and things like that, which is fine. A lot of IPOs do that. But I think most people who are serious are worried about the numbers and how big the losses are, how much money the founder has gotten, and also how much control the founder has. And so that's, I think, really where the heart of it is. But they did include a lot of stuff that sort of made everybody go, what, excuse me? You know, everything from governance to economics. And I think that's really at the heart of the problem.
Well, can we talk about what the business actually does, right? So WeWork rents shared office space for the growing co-working workforce, I believe we call it. One investor bullish on the company compared it to a real estate version of Amazon Web Services.
Yeah.
What's the case for WeWork being worth this much?
Oh, well, that it does renting at such a rapid pace. You know, most real estate companies don't do that. They have people in. It's not very technologically astute and things like that. And so they do a lot of anecdotal work. But that's the argument. So they're trying to pass themselves off as a tech company and therefore get tech company valuations, which are much higher than real estate valuations. And some people are questioning whether it's just a real estate company that does tech better, or is it a tech company that does real estate? And I think the former is what it is. And so the question is, you know, they bought some software companies that help do meetings and space and events and things like that. But then you sort of start to wonder, is that a tech company or just everybody uses tech tools to do things these days? It's the way, you know, you don't sign up for a meeting on a piece of paper anymore. And that doesn't make you a tech company because you have software that lets you do it.
Does it affect it that there's already a public company with a similar model, the Swiss company IWG, and it's not valued anywhere near what WeWork is hoping for? Is that affecting the way people look at WeWork?
Well, all of it. Either they're all worth a ton or they're all not worth a ton, right? And so the question is, can they differentiate themselves from the pack of what they're in and where do you classify them? And so they want very much to be thought of as Amazon. But Amazon had so many, and Amazon was made fun of when it did AWS, and it was made fun of lots of points in its growth cycle. But I think people cannot not argue that delivery is a much more technological feat than renting office space because it involves analog people. You know, I think the governance thing is also an issue. The CEO, Adam Neumann, has enormous control over the company. And at the same time, he pulled out about $700 million in loans and sale of his assets. And so that's another sort of red flag. Like,
why is that a red flag?
Because that's a lot of money. That's an enormous. I mean, sometimes founders take out a couple million, $10 million to buy a house, say in Palo Alto, like they're expensive here, and they want to be rewarded for their efforts thus far. But that number is enormous. The last time I think a similar thing happened was Groupon, and that company has had lots of trouble since. It's just a signal to investors that the founders are not committed. You know, they were arguing oppositely, but it's a big number. It's a big number compared to anybody else.
If WeWork is losing this kind of money, why go public right now? Why not just wait until the business model and the books look better for an IPO?
Well, they need money. They need this $3.5 billion. They have also a loan part of the equation that they're trying to get. So they need money to continue to grow. And their argument is, you know, if you just give us a little more, just like with Uber and Lyft, we can own this market. And the question is, can't one person was arguing, yeah, they could own the market. And if they own the market, great. It's just such a difficult market to own that I think a lot of people are worried that story is not, you know, every company is a story, right? And so people think this story is a little far-fetched. I think that's really the problem.
Is it also part of a bigger picture about tech IPOs? I just think in recent years, so many of them have had rocky rollouts. Mm-hmm. Companies like Uber, Facebook, Snapchat. Has anyone done this right? And if not, why can't the tech industry get this right?
Well, you know, Facebook had a rocky one, but look, it's got a great business and it's been doing, the stock's been going up and to the right for a long time. They have a justifiable moat heavy business where other people are dominating online advertising, for example. Uber and Lyft have had a lot of trouble. They're way off their original IPOs because they still, you know, they're letting you take a $20 Uber for $10. That's not really a great business plan. And so I think you can differentiate. Like there's a couple, like Airbnb might be a really interesting IPO and a whole lot of, you know, technological prowess is needed to do that business, even though it's an analog business too. Well, some of them have been sloppy, but some of them are very good companies.
That's Kara Swisher, editor at large for Recode. Thanks, Kara.
Thanks a lot.